Well, this morning we're going to do something a little bit different. Okay, we're going to be thinking about the question, what am I made for? By reflecting on the Barbie movie. Okay, I'm indebted to Krish Kandiah and Rachel Gardner, who inspired this talk with their Radio 4 Sunday morning worship feature. I'm not suggesting that you watch the Barbie movie, but rather we're looking at it to see what questions secular society is raising. And we're going to try and answer those questions from the Bible. The movie raises lots of interesting questions, but doesn't necessarily answer them. But God has answers to these questions. And we're doing that because that's what we do at Argyle. One of our values, I've put this stand up here with our vision and values. If you're new, do take a look. But one of them is culturally relevant. We want to observe what's going on in our culture and then reflect what the Bible has to say about that. And the Barbie movie is an interesting cultural phenomenon. But before we get into it, a bit of fun, a quiz, okay? To see how much you know about the world's most famous and favourite doll, all right? Five questions, keep your own score, I'm trusting you to be honest, okay? And we'll see if we can find a winner. First question, which toy company, don't shout out by the way, just think to yourself, which toy company makes Barbie? Is it Mattel, Hasbro or Bandai Namco? Have a think, all right? Have a think. Choose your answer. You can count your scores on your hands. Choose your answer in your head. The answer, the correct answer is Mattel, all right? So hopefully some of you got a point. Next question. Barbie is one of the oldest dolls around. If she was a real woman, how old would she be now? Would she be in her 50s, in her 60s, or in her 70s? What do you reckon? Pick an answer, okay? Think about it. Have a think. She is an old doll, okay? The correct answer is in her 60s, all right? So Barbie was introduced in 1959. So if that was your birth year, then you're the same age as Barbie. How about that? Next question. Which of these isn't, so is not a type of Barbie? Kwanzaa Barbie, Arctic Barbie, or Yorkshire Barbie? Okay? That's an interesting question, isn't it? There have been a massive range of different Barbies, but what do you think? Got it? The correct answer is Yorkshire Barbie. I'm very sorry if there's anyone here from Yorkshire, but they haven't released a Yorkshire Barbie at the moment. Maybe they will one day. Next question. Barbie has had lots of jobs. Actually, she's famous for having so many different jobs. Which of these jobs has she never had? Has she never been a submarine technician, a sign language teacher, or a paleontologist? A paleontologist is someone who studies fossils, okay? So which of those has she never had? Got it? Ready? Ready for the correct answer? It is, she's never been a submarine teacher. Wow, I can see somebody with 4 out of 5 so far over there. Last question. Who is Todd in the Barbie toy range, okay? Is he Barbie's friend? Is he Barbie's dog? Or is he Barbie's brother? Okay. All right. That's a tricky one, isn't it? Have a think. Ready? Got your answer? The correct answer is Barbie's brother. Okay. She does have a dog, but her dog's name is Taffy. Okay. So Todd is a younger brother. They did a younger brother range and sisters as well she's got. Okay, so let's find out how you did. Hands up if you got 3 out of 5. Okay, well done. Hands up, hands down. Hands up if you got 4 out of 5. Oh, well done. Did anyone get 5 out of 5? Oh, look at this. Well done, you guys. Fantastic. Good. Well, that was a bit of fun, looking at the Barbie dolls. Now we're going to think about the Barbie movie, and we're going to sort of do a bit of a deep dive and think about the questions it raises. Now, it was an unexpected hit. It was a bit of a cultural phenomenon. I don't think anyone expected it to do so well. It was the first ever film directed by a woman to make over $1 billion. Globally, it was the highest grossing film, that means it made the most money, of last year. It beat Oppenheimer. How about that? It made more money than Oppenheimer. And it's the 14th highest grossing film of all time. That's so surprising, isn't it, for a film about Barbie. It won 2 Golden Globes and 1 Oscar. And it's based on fashion dolls, but it raises huge questions about feminism, the patriarchy, inner conflict, identity, gender roles, self-sufficiency, self-worth, love, and so on. Huge questions it talks about. And I think that was why it was so surprisingly popular. It made you think. It raised these difficult questions, these complex issues, but it didn't just give trite and cliched and simplistic answers. And it talked seriously about things like identity and self-worth, and they are issues which audiences of all ages in all countries around the world identify with and struggle with and think about. And it was a bold movie. It's not afraid to ask the hard and difficult questions, such as, is it right to treat women like that? How do we decide what makes life worth living? Have we ever thought about death and dying? All those issues and questions were asked in the movie. It also won its Oscar for the best original song, with Billie Eilish's song, What Was I Made For? And it's interesting because at the Palm Springs International Film Festival, Billie dedicated the song to anyone experiencing hopelessness. The lyrics go like this: I used to float, now I just fall down. I used to know, but now I'm not sure. What was I made for? It's a good question, isn't it? What are we made for? What are human beings here for? What's our purpose? What was I made for? Big question, isn't it? Interesting discussion. I wish I could have heard some of your discussions. But the Bible has something to say about this question in a song written thousands of years before Billie Eilish's song. Psalm 139, which we read earlier, verse 14. Written by David, a poet, a songwriter, a shepherd, and then a king. He said, I praise you, God, because I am fearfully, that word means awesomely in this context, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. What David is saying is, I am made by you, God. I'm not mass-produced like Barbie and Ken and all the other characters in the range. I'm me, I'm unique, and I'm awesomely and wonderfully made by an artist who cares for me, who wants to know me and love me. That's what I was made for. That's who I am. That's what David is really saying in this psalm. You know, sometimes we can have a very negative view of what we were made for and who we are. I want to read out to you a conversation that a church youth worker called Rachel Gardner had with a 14-year-old girl from her youth group. The girl said to her, I'm ugly. I'm nothing. The youth worker said, what? Nothing could be further from the truth. The girl said, but it's true. I'm ugly. How do you know that? How do I know what? How do you know you're ugly? I just am. I know it. I don't know it, the youth worker said. God doesn't know that. You're not ugly. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows something different. And that is the wonderful message of the Bible. We have dignity and worth and value because we're made by God. Not because of how we look or because of what we've done or because of what we've achieved. Yes, all of us have our faults, for sure. We're sinners. The Bible's not shy of saying that. But God loves us unconditionally. He doesn't say, I'll only love you if you look perfect, like Margot Robbie, who played Barbie in the film, or Ryan Gosling, who played Ken. No, he says, I'll love you as you are, because I made you. And he invites us to come and experience his love and his care. That is what we were made for. I love these verses, or this verse. Jesus looked at him and loved him. And the reason I love that verse is because of the man that Jesus was talking to. The man Jesus was talking to, who he loved, had got something very wrong in his life. But Jesus still loved him. It's amazing, isn't it? And that's the kind of love that God has for us. He doesn't say, you've got to make yourself perfect. You've got to get everything right, and then I'll love you. He says, I love you despite your wrongness and your faults and your failings. You see, we were made to have a relationship with God, to know him, to enjoy him, to be helped by him, and to experience his love, to know that he's looking at us, loving us, just like Jesus looked at this man and loved him. But I want to ask, what about you? What do you believe that we were made for? I hope you come to realize that you were made for a relationship with God, and that that is what makes us truly deep down happy. I hope that instead of having a negative view about yourself and who you are and why you exist, I hope that you discover that you have value and dignity and worth, because you are you. You are unique. You're one of a kind, made by and loved by God. I hope you come to realize that your value and your worth are not because you wear the right clothes, you have the right shaped body, you achieve the right things. They're not what gives us our primary value. Our primary value comes from who we are. We're created by God. He loves us generously, and he cares for us deeply, and he sent Jesus so that we could be forgiven and have a relationship with him. Those things give us our primary value and worth in our lives. Another major issue that came up in the film, this big theme, is identity. Who am I? And Ken, especially, struggles with his identity. He gets very confused about his relationships, his friendships, what it means to be a man, and so on. His song, I'm Just Ken, expresses how he moves from a place of confusion and feelings of inadequacy to a better place of friendship and self-acceptance. But self-acceptance can be a hard thing to find, can't it? Like Ken, we often struggle with feelings of inadequacy and not being enough. I struggle with those feelings. This is one of my favourite Bible teachers and theologians, Krish Kandaya. And he was here, do you remember? He came to the baptisms at the beginning of the year. Here he is with Ollie Alexander. He said this about self-acceptance. He said, I recognize some of those feelings of inadequacy that the Barbie movie presents. As a teenager, I remember wanting to be taller, whiter, faster, cleverer, more popular, half of a power couple. But I found those things elusive, impossible even. It wasn't until I became a Christian that I discovered that true contentment isn't found in the checklist society presents us with. It's found when we realize that God loves us perfectly and accepts us just the way we are. We've just had Easter. We've celebrated Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. Jesus died on the cross and rose again So we can be forgiven of our sins, made right with God, and then so that we can know that God loves us deeply and accepts us, faults and all. And for me as a Christian, this gives me wonderful contentment about who I am. It helps me accept myself. I say, if God accepts me with all my sins and faults and failings, I can accept myself with all my faults and sins and failings. So I wonder, what about you? What gives you self-acceptance? Do you know that you're forgiven? That through Jesus you can be made right with God? So that now he loves you deeply and accepts you fully, faults and all. You can know this if you repent and put your faith in Jesus. To repent means to turn away from living yourself and turn towards God. To trust in Jesus means to believe that he loves you enough that he died for you on the cross, taking your sin on himself, being punished for it in your place. And when we do that, we start to experience contentment about who we are. We start to accept ourselves the way we are because God accepts us the way we are now. So how do you think about yourself? Will you only accept yourself if you conform to the checklist that society presents? Because it does, doesn't it? Society and social media say you have to be this, this and this, and you're only worth it if you are those things. Or will you accept yourself unconditionally, compassionately, kindly, the way that God accepts you? I hope and pray that you will discover your true identity, that you were made to know God and be loved by him, and that in experiencing his love, I hope and pray you will come to a healthy place of self-acceptance. I want to finish with this verse from Isaiah 54:10. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. These verses remind us of our identity in Christ, of who we are as Christians. That is who we are. We're loved with an unfailing love. We're held by a covenant of peace. And it's God who gives us those things. It's God who's our Father. It's God who showers that love and promises that covenant to us. That is who we are. God bless you. Thank you for listening.